Hello, I'm Luke Cardenine, the host of the Golf IQ podcast, and we've got some very exciting news here in Golf Digest land. It's a new newsletter available exclusively to Golf Digest Plus members, and it'll land in your inbox once a week. It's the greatest newsletter in all the land here at Golf Digest, but I admit there is an upstart rival in the ranks, and it goes by the name of the Low Net newsletter with Sam Wyman, who's here right now. Sam, what's the lowdown on your newsletter?
Well, my newsletter, Luke, is the reason that you are competing for second place at best. My newsletter, as you said, is called Low Net. It's geared towards golfers like myself who are very much in the middle of the pack at your course or your club. It's a game I live and breathe, and I'm obsessed with getting better.
No, in all seriousness, it's a great read. It's full of not just really interesting and helpful stuff, but really relatable stuff from the man who probably loves golf the most of anybody here at Golf Digest. So head over to golfdigest.com/plus. Sign up and start enjoying both of these awesome newsletters each and every week.
You're known as such a great wind player. Do you ever find yourself kind of like, do you look at the weather forecast and say, oh yeah, there's going to be wind tomorrow? It seems like you
jump it's up. All the time. I love it. I love it when it's, windy and stuff, but yeah.
Welcome back to The Loop. I'm Alex Myers. As always, I'm joined by Steve Hennessy and Christopher Powers. I say as always, but actually it's been a while since we had the full band together and that we weren't all traveling all over the place. So good to see everybody. CP, you're back in Jersey. Steve, you're in Jersey as usual. I'm back in New York after an eventful trip to California with the kids for the first time. A little SeaWorld, a little Legoland. 2 days at Legoland. 1 day at SeaWorld.
I would have gone 3 days at Legoland.
Really? Well, Julia liked it the most. She would have definitely gone 3 days. Maddie, not as much. She actually liked SeaWorld better, the younger one. So
now you got to show them. Now you got to show them Blackfish.
What's that?
The documentary about SeaWorld from like 2015.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad.
Maybe when they're older.
Maybe it's bad. A couple more years.
Well, they like to pump up that they've rescued 43,000 animals from the wild. That's what they like to say.
And imprison them.
Yeah, I know. I'm surprised a place like that's even still around, right? I mean, probably 20 years it won't be.
It defies all logic in 2024, for sure.
What about even the zoo? Will there even be zoos? Because we didn't go to the San Diego Zoo, which is a famous zoo. And because we just had so much to do with Legoland and it's a great question. It's a fair question.
Make enough money and you can stay open, I guess.
Guess so. What's it called? We also have I should have mentioned right at the top, great episode here. We are still a week away from our Masters preview app. Obviously we still have one more event this week before the Masters on tour. But we have a former major champ, and one of, maybe not the favorites, but certainly a guy you would consider putting a few bucks on, in Matt Fitzpatrick. He will be joining the show in a bit. I think, Steve, did we figure out he's the first third-time guest or something? Maybe he's up there.
He's up there. I feel like Cantlay, maybe. He's definitely been
twice. I only remember Cantlay once. Xander's been at least twice, maybe three.
Xander could be three.
Yeah, Abe's been a couple. But anyway, we have Matt Fitzpatrick coming up in a bit. But first, let's talk about this week's PGA Tour event, obviously the Houston Open. Everybody's going to come away from this remembering that Scottie Scheffler missed that putt. And, if this happened a month ago, I think we all would have said, well, he misses a lot of short putts. But since that new putter, he's been so rock solid. I know he did miss an even shorter putt to end his round on Friday. So this is an event, he was going for three straight. He was a 3-1 favorite. He was minus money at some point on Sunday. He was like going into it. I think he was
on Thursday.
On Thursday even?
After the first round.
It might've been our boy Dan. Like the afternoon wave hadn't teed off yet, and he was like minus 105 Thursday after his round, I'm pretty sure.
It's crazy because he got off to the good start. And then I watched some of even I forgot if it was his first or second round. He had two of the worst bounces I've ever seen. One into the water on both. Then again, he missed like a 2-footer one day. He missed this 4-footer. I mean, he should have won this tournament easily. That's what's so crazy about it. He's got to be kicking himself. But yeah, guys, your thoughts on him? I mean, any reason to worry at all about him because of that short miss, anything like that? Or is it just show how good he is that we're disappointed that he didn't win?
I mean, there's no reason to be, anxious about him coming into the Masters. He's in such rare air strokes gain wise. He's gaining like 3.5 strokes to the field so far this year, which is almost a stroke better than last year and more than a stroke better than when he won in 2022. So, the putts, obviously he doesn't miss that little gimme 22 incher. They're in a playoff, and then he could have made the 5-footer. Obviously there's a lot of what ifs in a golf tournament. I'm sure Steven Yeager also missed a few bunnies, but no reason to worry. I'm also not betting him at plus 500 or whatever.
No, he's 4-1 now. Masters 4-1.
It's got to go up Masters week.
I mean, that's insane.
Who's betting that?
I don't know. CP, you're
especially with the other big boys, which it really is a shame that. DJ, Brooks, Rahm, and Scotty, like they should be alphaing off every week, and we're gonna get it once next week, and then not
at
again.
Least we got Doral this week. At least we get a sense of like how they're playing. Yeah. So
that's true. Liv at Doral, which they've had a few weeks off, which is
Anthony Kim against the media, U.S. media.
That's right.
Oh, interesting. Hey. Anthony Kim's U.S. debut.
I'm surprised CP's not flying down, big corrupt media guy to ask Anthony Kim some damning questions.
CGM. Apparently our boy Red Harrington, like, I don't know if he lives in Augusta or like we got to meet up with him next week.
Oh, really? I'd love to meet
him. I think he like lives down there somewhere or something. We got to do like the Bloods and the Crips picture together.
Yeah, he's very spirited, but I've never had any, combative exchanges.
He's a cordial, with him. It seems like
he gets it. He gets it.
Yeah, he's not one of these crazy people, and I hope he would at least realize that we're not, the evil media that some people think we are. Especially because I would say CP's probably the most prolific of just about any golf writer out there, but yet he gets killed on both sides. We've talked about this before. It's pretty
because he trolls both sides.
He does troll both sides. He is an expert. He is an expert troller. So Scottie Scheffler still at 4-1 entering the Masters. It's funny. Had he won, it would have been 3 in a row, just like Dustin. Yeah. Johnson, we will say, the guy heading into the 2017 Masters. I remember vividly he was 4-1. Also, he was the most overwhelming favorite at a major since Tiger, obviously, and no one has been close since. Although Scotty will be, and then of course he had the whole staircase fiasco or whatever happened.
I just remembered I was on that conference call with him last week. I think Ferguson asked him, or no, maybe it was Bob, our boy Bobby Harrig. Was like, do you ever think about that? You won 3 in a row.
Best you'd ever played. Yeah.
Like, do you ever allow yourself to what if? And he was like, yeah, what if I had 2 green jackets? That was his answer.
What's funny, perfect. He hadn't even won one yet.
I know.
He won the other one in 2020, which was like the weird one. But no, he was as big of a favorite as you could imagine. Yep. Even like Scotty at 4-1 doesn't feel as big of a favorite as DJ did that week. It was like he was going to win. Like he just won every week. And then, he never quite got back to that level. Obviously, he did win the Masters in 2020, but never, wasn't quite that dominant again. But so anyway, I was going to say, I mean, maybe for Scotty's sake, who knows? Maybe it's better he doesn't come in with the win streak. I won't be betting him at 4-1, but I really did almost pull the trigger on him at the Players. And of course that would have been money, put a huge bet and I got talked out of it. So I'll be talking about that till the day I die. Let's talk a little about Steven Yeager. Obviously, this guy has been playing great golf since last year. I mean, I think I saw at some point, this was even before this week, at some point he's like 12th in total strokes gained over the last 12 months or something. I mean, he's a stud. It took him a while to get on tour. He was kind of this star on the Korn Ferry Tour. You know, he shot the 58. It's funny because, I was joking with someone. Even when he shot the 58, Jim Furyk shot a 58 on the PGA Tour like 2 weeks later. And like, we just totally forgot about this guy. But no, he's obviously a great player. Luke Cardenine has written a lot about how he's improved his distance and the whole Jaeger bombs joke and everything else. And you got Joel Damon screaming it after. But guys, I mean, I know he's been a fantasy and a betting darling as well. So talk about Steven Jaeger.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I've been an anti-Jaeger guy. So licking my wounds for sure. But good for him. This is kind of what everyone projected for a while now. People betting him at 30 and 40 to 1, and I would just roll my eyes, and he would take the lead on Thursday and then fade to, 35th place. But it was obvious this was coming. He's a really good player, so good for him. Tough. Had Finau. Bet Finau yesterday morning. Kind of similar to my...
Me too.
Kind of similar to my 45 to 1. Kind of similar to my Hideki bet at Rib. Oh. Just wanted to have a guy... Wanted to pick someone who I thought could maybe shoot a low number. Finau did that, but of course he missed a 2-foot putt on the 16th hole, I believe, for birdie. As someone pointed out, though, had he made that 2-footer for birdie, there's zero chance Tony Finau is finishing birdie. So kind of just typical Tony Finau finish. But it was fun little sweat for a while. Thank you to Tony, but good job by Jaeger.
I bet Tony live at 40 to 1, and like 2 minutes later, he chipped in.
Uh-huh.
What was that, 5 or 4? And I was like, oh, baby, I am live right now. And then he immediately made a bogey, and they didn't show him forever, and he just kind of stayed there. But it was fun to have a guy like that. Those are fun bets, especially because you had so many guys bunched, but then you also had Scotty. So, he was... Scotty was what, plus 140, and Jaeger was like 7-1 as co-leader. I mean,
and as you can see by the scores, like proper golf course, and a 4 or 5 under like Tony shot could legitimately get you back in it yesterday.
Yep.
So
yep.
Those are fun ones to bet, not the when everyone's 8 under and you can't really make up any ground.
Yeah, for sure.
The kind of golf course we want to see on the PGA Tour more often. Interesting greens. It didn't even play as firm and fast as it could have. And even without the rough, it kind of shows you that rough doesn't really challenge.
Yeah, there's like no rough.
Yeah, as much as we think. So, more of this and a public course that people could go play. So it's a good week.
It's funny. I have one of my oldest friends is a Houston resident, and he's on Twitter. He's a golfer. He gets it, but he's like, I don't. Because, it's basically universal praise from a certain subset of golf Twitter on Memorial Park. And he's like, I play there all the time. It's like a shitty muni. I don't understand.
One of my buddies.
Like, that's not what they're saying online. He's like, I don't get what all the praise is about.
I get a text from my buddy during the thing. He goes, what's the name of this course? Pedestrian National? I was dying.
Pretty good.
Oh yeah, so I know. Steven the nerds think it's amazing. I'm sure it's a good course.
You just said you want, 4 under part of
it. Oh,
I like that. But I'm saying,
if that's the course that gets me to there, then fine. More Memorial Park. I'm just relaying a message I got.
I was ripping on Myers for complimenting the course and then saying national.
I didn't compliment the course. I just said I liked that the scores were bunched. And obviously, Scotty should have won.
I love what happened to him on what was that Saturday? That it looks like Augusta, that the way it spun off the green and into the water. Like if you should,
right, but then some of them didn't spin into the water and they got held up. And that was BS. Your boy Patrick Rogers got saved. He finished a million shots behind anyway, but he had one. Do that. No, I'm sure it's a great course, especially for...
I don't think it's great. It's just a good tournament course, I think.
Good tournament course. Well,
it's public. And it's public. That should be praised.
100%.
It's a course. It's kind of shitty. But, well, not shitty, but, it's not interesting.
We're going to get into some public course rankings in a bit. I would give my left pinky to play this course every weekend. Right. Put it that way. Because where we are, the public, well, not you guys in Jersey, where I am in Westchester in New York, the public court, the golf stinks for the most part. So yeah, I'm sure it's a tremendous track. I'm sure if any of the courses I play were on TV, they would look like shit too. So not that this place looked like shit, but it just didn't look like amazing. But I get it. Architecturally and public, it's a good course. It produced a very nice tournament. So good job by them. And by the way, Steven Yeager is 14th this season in strokes gained total. So again, he had a close call at he was the 36 hole leader, I think, at Torrey.
54 holes at Mexico.
No, I could get behind him at a juicy number. Not the Masters, but
he's a good player now. You're not going to get it.
Maybe the U.S. Open. No, I'm talking about in a major.
Okay. At a major, you're going to bet a juicy number.
Yeah, bet him to win a major. You
yeah, you can't bet him.
A lot of us are betting him at other tournaments.
It's called recency bias. Look it up.
Yeah. See, you're maturing. You're now learning from your past mistakes, and you're going forward. I'm proud of you.
Right. Well, and he knows terms like recency bias, which is good. He still do it. He still fall into the traps, but yeah. All right. We didn't get Scottie Scheffler's third consecutive win. We did get Nelly Korda winning for a third consecutive time. You know what's going to come back to real? I'm going to look so dumb, guys. Those predictions of who were going to win the LPGA majors this year. And I like totally blanked on Nelly Korda, and I don't think I picked her to win a major.
I think I did.
I think you both did, and I didn't. And I was like, oh, shit, Nelly Korda, forgot about her. And now she wins literally every week, and she's healthy, and she's back, and she's dominating, and golf Twitter is rejoicing. So kudos to her. She's the – it actually even a further – you have to go farther back to find a three-in-a-row winner. It was Arya Jatanagarn back in 2016. And for an American to do this – Nancy Lopez, 1978, which is 20 years before Nelly Korda was even born. So she is on a historic run right now. Guys, I won't ask you to comment on that, but it so happens that there is this rumor Doug Ferguson has reported from the Associated Press that the Olympics are going to add a mixed team event, not for this year, but it would happen in the 2028 Olympics. Would that be good to mix it up for the Olympics? And also give me a little Nelly thought here.
Yeah, that would be sick. At Riviera, we'd have a mixed.
All right. Yeah. LA. Yep.
I mean, that would be prime because the current stroke play format is very tired. What would be wired is including the women and just doing some sort of team event. I mean, that's
right.
That's like what's lacking. That's the opportunity for the Olympics. That's what's so great about the Olympics is, you root for Team USA and, whatever team you're rooting for, it would be amazing to have, Nelly and whoever, Xander and Cantlay, although that's not too exciting now that I say that out loud. Maybe anyone else other than Cantlay and Xander. But yeah, all for it.
Yeah, should be. I mean, people have been begging for this type of thing for a while now on Twitter, as we know. So that'll make everyone very happy.
Very happy. And by the way, to clarify, I think the plan is that they will keep the men and women stroke play, but in the middle, they will do this mixed team event. So you get something for everybody. You get like the standard play. Who knows? Maybe, well, they can't cut it to 54. Then everyone will be making all the jokes, the live jokes. But you get the two standard tournaments, and then you get this more fun team event, mixing the women in there. I think that's pretty good. And then you have a chance to win two medals too, which is kind of cool. So, yeah, I could see that happening. I would like to see that. And yeah, you're right, Steve. I mean, Riviera, that's going to be awesome. CP's spot. CP's favorite spot. He changes every week, but that's one of his favorite spots to watch a turn. So
Flanders Valley, my favorite spot right now. Played well there Saturday.
I saw your video from there. Yeah. Is that a nice track?
Posted the worst hole of the day.
I know. Well,
that's like two over after that. It's unbelievable.
That shows what an upstanding individual you are that you would post.
My buddy was like, you don't have to post that. I'm like, yes, I do. For the people.
Wait, what'd you shoot on the day? You were
80.
Nice. Okay. Yeah.
And you doubled that hole and then kind of blacked out after that.
Okay. All right. Let's get into our chat with Matt Fitzpatrick. Obviously, I think he's a 9-time DP World Tour winner. Of course, the winner of the 2022 US Open at the Country Club, Brookline, and a USAM champ as well. And again, one of those guys who's starting to play really well at the right time. Of course, he played really well at the Players. I think he had a T7 in his Masters debut. So obviously there's a chance that he picks it up at the Masters as well. Anyway, please have a listen to our chat with Matt Fitzpatrick. All right. We are excited to welcome in 2013 U.S. Amateur champ, 2022 U.S. Open champ, Matt Fitzpatrick. Matt, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, all good.
Yeah, so I think the last time we had you on was 2 years ago, and 3 months later, you won the U.S. Open. So, you know, hopefully this is
a good omen. Yeah, totally.
Exactly. Totally. So I want to start though first with let's start with the Players Championship. And you had an unusual week in that you admitted that there was this weight that was in your driver. And I think everybody was so surprised that someone who's so meticulous as you are, as we've seen in Full Swing and everything else, with all the notes you take, that you could somehow not notice this weight being in your driver. How in the world did that happen? And obviously it looks like you're hitting it much better now.
Just, you know, one of those things. We tried the theory behind it and it didn't work out, and just went unnoticed. And just one of those things, one of those mistakes. But Sawgrass was a great week. I felt like I played well, felt like my game's been there or thereabouts, just not managed to kind of string it all together. So it was a real positive.
Well, let's talk about, you know, your Players and just how this sets you up for the rest of the year, you know, with the top 10 and obviously building toward a very important part of the schedule. So, how excited are you about that?
Yeah, definitely. It was a great week. Obviously my best finish at a Players. So that was obviously a huge positive for me. I think for me, you know, I feel like I've got 2 weeks off now and I'm playing for the first time ever. So that's kind of exciting for me as well, to kind of give that a go and see how that works. See if that makes me feel better into going into the Masters or feel worse. It's obviously a new kind of experiment. We're giving it a go. So I think for me, it was just a positive. I felt comfortable there and felt like there was definitely some positives in my game.
I want to ask you about Full Swing. And obviously you were a big part of season one, but also season two, and your brother Alex was in it as well. I went to Wake Forest, so I loved seeing all the Wake Forest shots. And his girlfriend. But what was that like being in the second season again and getting your brother in the mix? And it was almost like they scripted it, where, you know, you end up having this amazing finish between you two at the Open Championship. It was almost like a fairy tale.
Yeah, it was really special. When I was he was qualifying for the Open. I was with my fiance. We were playing golf that day, and it was so funny because I was like constantly refreshing. I was super nervous. I was desperate for him to make it. And then when he did, it was, you know, I knew it was going to be a great week, a great experience for him. Obviously we played practice rounds together and had a great week from that standpoint. But yeah, I was just so pleased for him for the week itself. I think, you know, a few weeks prior to him qualifying, he'd not necessarily been playing too well. And he was kind of getting down on himself. And I said, you know, it's the way the game is. And you got to understand it's the golf's hard, you know, things happen. You can have a good practice session. You can have bad ones. And you just got to be patient with it and stick to it and stick to the plan and you'll get there. So I think for me, that the way that he did finish, I think was fantastic. Firstly, the way that he made the cut, and then certainly Saturday when he had a fantastic round to get, to get right up there.
You know, one more follow-up there. Just Joel Damon talked about how much, you know, fame he and attention he's gotten from that, being on that show. I know you won, obviously, a major championship. That obviously lifted your profile. But have you felt any sort of effect from the Netflix show personally? And would you consider doing it a third season?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, Netflix is such a popular thing in the world nowadays. It's actually frightening how you know, global, and how everyone knows it. You know, it's such a big deal. So to be part of that was really special for the two seasons. I definitely noticed a change in my profile, for sure. There's no doubt about that. And yeah, I'm definitely considering it if they'll have me, of course, for season three. So I love the crew. I love the people that work for the guys that film it. And I've always had a lot of fun with it.
And how special is it to kind of have all of this chronicled? Like your parents are a big part of it, obviously, Alex, and you know, your fiance, his girlfriend. Like to have this really special year all on film must be really cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I feel like I've just been very lucky, you know, when I think about it. Just you go to 2022, it's the first season they've ever done it, and I went and won the US Open. You know, that in itself is, you know, you couldn't kind of script it any better. I know Chad has said that a lot. And then obviously the following year to be lucky enough to play with each other at the Zurich, to play in the Open Championship together. And, you know, obviously have our parents follow all that at this time in our careers. So, yeah, very, very special. And like I say, just feel very lucky.
Well, I mean, obviously you've also worked your butt off. So, you know, not all, but anyway, we want to ask you about, obviously, your partnership with Skechers and what you got. You got some exciting stuff to unveil at the Masters, that we understand.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm really looking forward to the Masters for that reason. Obviously, there's many reasons to look forward to the Masters, but in particular, for me, being with them has been nothing but fantastic. The service is second to none. And certainly, the sort of collaboration I've had with the staff has been brilliant in terms of the input I had to have in the clothing, in the shoes.
This is going to be your 10th Masters, Matt, which I'm sure is pretty crazy. what do you think you've learned about the golf course and any specifics in terms of preparation that maybe you've changed throughout the years? Obviously, you're playing right before the Masters this year, which is different, but about the golf course specifically, maybe that you didn't really know your first couple of years.
No, you know, I will be honest. I feel like I've always done a really good job with that. I think from the first time I ever played as an amateur, I spent, you know, 3-4 days, 3 weeks prior to the Masters, I think. And then obviously another 3 days of practice that year. And I made sure that I had every note under the sun. Of course, you know, there's small changes that the club has made, new tees, maybe slightly different green sloping. But, you know, they're very good at being, you know, open and honest about that. They let the players know when, you know, when they have made changes, so you can update your yardage books or whatever it may be. And I think that's what makes it so special, that we go to the same place every year, but it can still be such a fantastic challenge.
That's kind of crazy. Your 10th Masters. I think this is going to be Wyndham Clark's first Masters. Yeah, I mean, just, you know, I don't know if you've ever allowed yourself to think about this, but obviously, you know, John Rahm just released his Champions Dinner menu. Have you ever allowed yourself to think what you might, and he has
no.
His involved somehow. Maybe you'd get your parents involved with some home cooking? No,
definitely not. I've not really thought about it. It's one of those that, you know, I'll think about when the time comes, for sure. Right. I hope, you know, all being well, that time does come. But yeah, for the most part, it's trying to keep it as, far out of my mind as possible, to be honest.
fair enough.
Have you made any trips to Augusta this year in preparation, or yeah, are you just going?
No, I haven't. You know, it's one of those, again, I would love to. I really would. It's just a timing thing, you know, with the schedule being so busy this time of the year, and particularly, ideally, I'd probably want to go sort of January, February, but that's not really the ideal time weather-wise in Georgia. So yeah, that's the only thing that kind of puts a little bit of doubt in it. But on the whole, I love going there, and you know, I like I say, I wish I could go for practice for a few more days, but no, not this year.
Matt, do you still use the stack speed?
I do. Yeah.
And random, this is so random. Have you ever gotten hurt using it? Because I have a really bad story to tell you.
have I got hurt using it? I mean, I wouldn't say I've had like sort of injuries flare up, but it's not because of that. You know, at the end of the day, there's no impact. You know, arguably it's less chance of injury with that because you're not hitting the ball than hitting the ball. So, yeah, little injuries, but that's not really tied because of the stack. Yeah.
100%. Well, once you get over 40, like myself, you might it'll have to be a little more careful.
Maybe different. Actually, yeah.
Yeah. I tore my meniscus on my right knee on the backswing. And I was so excited. I'd already done one program. I'd gained 5 miles per hour. I was so excited. So the stack is amazing. I don't want to say anything, but like, I wonder, have you ever had an embarrassing golf injury then? That would be my next question.
An embarrassing golf injury? No, I mean, probably not. I tried to be really careful. Would say, you know, I was walking down a tee open qualifying, probably 2014, maybe 2015, and walking off a tee, and it was kind of went downslope, just kind of rolled my ankle. But that's about it. Yeah, that's about it.
Did you end up? Yeah. How'd you play that week?
No, I withdrew. Like
you withdrew?
I withdrew. That's the only time. Yeah,
that is pretty embarrassing. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right. Yeah, you're in good company, Myers. well, it's your, you know, you're used to this kind of full swing celeb, Matt, but your brother probably isn't. Obviously, he was in, you know, the first season a little bit watching you. But has this gone to his head at all? Are you giving him a little smack like, dude, you gotta keep your ego in check here?
No, I mean, I've not really seen him much, so I don't know how he's acting, but you know, he's got good people around him as well, so hopefully he's gonna stay grounded. But I think he had a lot of fun doing it, and I definitely think he enjoyed the episode for sure.
Sweet.
What's your favorite thing that you look forward to every year you go back to Augusta that week?
I think just being there, you know, purely just being there, driving down Magnolia Lane and feel of the tournament itself, being able to, you know, like I said, my 10 masters, I've been able to take so many people, family, friends of friends. And I feel like that's kind of pretty special in itself, that for me, where I'm from, there's no guarantee that the people around me are ever going to go. And obviously I've had that opportunity to be able to share that with them and take people and get them tickets. And I think that's what's been so special for me is having that, you know, having that ability to have people that may not be able to go or have gone into the lottery. My dad was a great example of that, going into the lottery every year, never won the tickets. And then, you know, I've managed to play it 10 times. So it's definitely, I would probably say that. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Do you have a favorite part of the week in terms of like maybe a tradition that, you know, you and your family have formed, something you guys do like every Tuesday night or something, anything like that?
No, I wouldn't say anything like that in particular. We just, you know, we love the par three. We always, you know, that's something I would never, you know, would never miss. But it's just always good fun. I don't think my parents have ever missed one other than the COVID year one, 2020. But, you know, I never feel like that's one that I sort of remember too much. I didn't play well for one, but also being in November at the Masters, it was very bizarre. So, you know, there is that too. So, I feel like that I don't think there's anything in particular we do, but it's just being there is special.
Is there any hole in particular that, you know, you find yourself thinking about every once in a while, like, man, I got to get that hole this year. Is there anything like that at the course?
No, I wouldn't say so. I mean, I just think about the whole golf course, you know, so many fantastic holes, so well designed and just offer all sorts of different tests. And, you know, I think if you look at how you play those certain holes, every hole's kind of different, you know, you can have multiple different plans to play each and every hole, in my opinion. I think that's, you know, having the options is always what makes it special.
Last one from me, Matt. We got, you know, the Ryder Cup next year. Beth Page is going to be in New York. You know, it's highly anticipated. Obviously, after you guys beat the Americans last year back on U.S. soil, what do you think you're looking forward to most about that week? And have you allowed yourself to think about that week at all? Obviously, it's a busy schedule for you, but
Yeah.
We've only just finished the last one.
They're still celebrating.
Yeah. I've not thought about that. You know, I think once the points start, that's something that you might think about. But no, it's still a long way off to me. Obviously, I've heard all about Long Island fans, and I'm excited to obviously sort of witness that and be part of that. But you know, I've no doubt it'll be a fantastic event as usual.
Last thing for me, just quickly, you're known as such a great wind player. Do you ever find yourself kind of like, do you look at the weather forecast and say, oh yeah, there's going to be wind tomorrow? It seems like you
all the time. I love it when it's you know, windier and tougher. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Awesome. Well, Matt, thank you so much. We really appreciate the time. Good luck at the Masters this year. Good luck. Hopefully the wind is in the forecast that week at Augusta, and we'll see you down the road.
Thank you.
Great stuff from Matt Fitzpatrick. We'll see, you know, again, third time guest. So he's doing something right. See if we get, you know, hopefully if he wins the Masters, he could be a four-time guest at some point. All right. We kind of tiptoed around with some of this course stuff. I put out a ranking, a very unofficial ranking. Steve and the guys are trying to get us more involved with these course stuff. It's fun. And I did a ranking of courses, my favorite courses around New York City. And so I had a lot of different parameters in here. The main one though is I have to get there in under an hour, and not like it might be an hour. It has to be under an hour, really more like 30 minutes. I wanted 30 to 40 minutes. So that's where I came up with my list. I've since been pointed out that I left off a couple places, West Point and Casper Kill. Those are great places. I always considered them to be way over an hour for me. They are not. They are right about an hour. So I could have put them in there. I didn't. I also put the Griff in there, Terrace in Greenwich. And that was more because I go there. That's the place I go the most, because I can get there and hit a small bucket and get back in under an hour. I don't usually play the course there, but it's a fun track. My number one place, though, Links of Unionvale, by far number one in the area. I love it. My number two is probably controversial, Pound Ridge. Again, there's not a lot of great options. If you think Westchester has a lot of great public courses, you are sadly mistaken. Number three, I believe, was Great River, another place where we had a corporate membership for a few years. Very tough. And another really tough course. We had these memberships at two of the toughest courses I could remember. And Steve, I know you know, CP, it's before your time probably, but there are guys who would not play at Pound Ridge, like refused for years. Same thing happened at Great River. There were people who were like, I'm not going to Great River. It's too tough. Then my number four, I think, was a place I just got to last year, Mansion Ridge. I thought it was Jersey. I was trying to give Jersey a bone. It's not Jersey. It's Orange, New York. You guys have played there?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good course. Nice course.
I've been there, and I've been to Links at Unionvale. Didn't play either time. Too busy being a lowly intern.
Being an MGA, yeah.
Links at Unionvale, it was like 115 degrees, and it was a U.S. amateur sectional qualifier, so it was 36 holes.
Wow.
Maybe the hottest day I've ever
experienced. Wow. Brutal. Survival of the fittest. It's usually a little cooler up there too. Yeah, it's great. It's a great course. I know we've talked about getting up there. It's a long drive for you guys. Yeah, it's a long drive for me. It's, by the way, it was kind of right at my breaking point. It's 50 minutes. If it was 30 minutes, I would go there every weekend. But 50 minutes, so I'd probably go there two or three times a year. So number four is Mansion Ridge. And then number five was the Griff. I probably should have put Hudson Hills on there. That's the course I go to the most. I mentioned it. I mean, that's the course I go to the most. It's clearly the best of the Westchester publics. But, you know, it costs more. It's in better shape. But they're just some funky holes. And in the last couple of years, there are a couple environmental areas that they've had supposedly had to let grow in. And they've kind of ruined a couple of these par fives. So I probably should have put Hudson Hills, if I'm being honest, on there. I do play there the most. So shout out Hudson Hills, Doug. Shout out Doug, the starter. And then I mentioned a couple others. Richter Park used to be great. It's not anymore. I went there last year. It's gone downhill. I hate to say it.
It's also so far from New York City. I'm glad he didn't put it.
Okay. No, but right. So
Connecticut from New York. It's like 2 hours.
No, that's a good point, Steve. Steve makes a good point. So the headline said New York City. We were trying to pull people in. I'm like already 40 minutes outside of New York City. So that's where I can go to these other places. So for me, Richter Park is actually only 30-minute drive. But you're right. You would never go there from the city. You would never go to Great River from the city. It's just way too far.
Oh, God. No.
You'd probably never go to Lynx. I mean, unless you made a full day of it and played, you know, maybe even played 36. That would be a hell of a day.
I did Great River last year or 2 years ago. I was going up to Fisher's Island the next day.
Stopped, oh, my God.
Played nine from the city.
That's sick.
So you can drive from the city to Great River if you have a round at Fisher's Island lined up the next day.
Fisher's Island.
He flew over in his helicopter.
Unbelievable. You know, a couple other, I could have mentioned Trump Ferry Point. I did. I said, I put a disclaimer in there that I haven't played it in a few years and that it has new management. And I just coincidentally got a text today from a friend. They put out the new pricing and it's pricey. If you don't live in the city, it's $270, which is even more expensive than Pound Ridge. So pricey. I'll try to get out there this year, but again, with traffic and everything, that could end up being a long trip. And then you got the other two Bronx courses, Van Cortlandt, you got Split Rock, Pelham Bay. So it's three courses. I mean, they're just not, you know, I get a better feeling when I go to a Pound Ridge. I know it's got its issues, but when you go to Pound Ridge, you get that, like, it's a big time course feeling.
Premium experience.
Yeah. Right. You get that feeling. We know as golfers, you know what I'm talking about. You don't get that at these other places. So I had to make that distinction. But anyway, you guys would be in much better shape with the New Jersey Publix, especially if you could get to Ballyowen or somewhere like that quick. I don't know where you guys live exactly. New Jersey confuses me. But
I barely even go to Ballyowen. It's like an hour for me now.
Oh, okay. That's a great course. Wow.
I used to do that drive from the city. You know, if you leave early in the morning, you get there in an hour. So
yeah.
Getting back, that was the problem.
It's worth it. It's definitely worth the drive.
Yeah.
You have great close by.
Oh, I was going to say, so Neshanic kind of became the buzzy.
I've played with people there that drive from the city. So people come far and wide for Neshanic.
And you're going to do your own ranking soon, CP?
Yeah, Jersey Shore. So keep your eyes peeled for that. I feel like I'm an expert on that front. So
definitely.
And we'll try to keep it. You did like courses you could play, right? I think I want to do that.
Yeah. Obviously, these are all public courses. I should.
Matita Conk will be left off the list.
Yeah, no Hollywood.
No. Haven't gotten there yet. If anyone's actually, that guy did reach out to us. We should. We should take him up on that.
It's top three in Jersey.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Top three is in like Pine Valley's number one and it's top three?
Non Pine Valley.
Oh, okay. But so,
TV division.
Top five?
That's like Philly to me.
Okay, but like top five, New Jersey overall? Hollywood?
Oh, yeah. I think so.
Wow. Okay.
Like betting without Scotty. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
A couple of you missed Myers, I think.
Okay, go ahead.
Skyway in Jersey City.
Yep.
Nine holes.
But you can play 18. I've done it. And, you know, you just have to play it early enough so when you loop back around, there's not four groups.
Heard great things.
6-hour round.
Yeah, like Van Cortlandt. But Skyway's phenomenal. Anyone who has, you know, is around the city needs to play Skyway. So good. Blue Hill in Pearl River. Myers, have you played Blue Hill?
You know, I have not played it. I've been I've been there to cover stuff. Never played it. I've played, you know, all those Rockland courses. I kind of just forgot about. You know why? Because I said my favorite courses, and I've never really gone. I've never played it, so I can't really do it yet. Like what else? Spook Rock, Blue Hill.
I grew up in Bergen County. Yeah. Like we'd always go up to Rockland County. So Patriot Hills is great.
Patriot Hills. I've played Patriot Hills once or twice. So again, like I wouldn't put in my favorites, but it's a good course.
Yeah, but Blue Hill is good. It's got 27 holes.
27 holes. Yep, I remember that.
Yeah, fun routing. Galloping Hills is very easy to get to from the city, right here in Union, close to me. I hit that range all the time. So I would throw that on the list.
Is that where you almost ran into Victor Cruz?
Yeah, that's apparently where Victor goes to.
I didn't realize that was a public course. You were hanging out at a public course? You and Cruz were slumming it?
Wow. Yeah. Come on. We're just
sitting courtside at the Knicks game last
night. That's right, courtside.
And Steve's two rows back last week, hanging out with Stevie Cohen. Steve and they're at Galloping Hill.
We're paying $8 a bucket for a small, 50 balls. We're men.
Unbelievable.
What can we say?
Get you a man who can do both.
Yeah.
And then you had good caveats not to include Bethpage, but
like, yes, yes, right. If you live in the city, obviously Bethpage, getting anywhere from the city sucks.
You can take the train out to Bethpage.
Major reason why I never lived in the city. Yeah, you're right. Bethpage is actually easier than a lot of these places because you can take a train, whereas a lot of these places you need access to a car or you got to get up and take a train and then an Uber. I know living in the city stinks if you're a golfer. I mean, I know it's fun for a bit, but like, I know you did it, Steve, but like,
I did it for 2 years and that was
cool. It's tough, man. I mean,
I'm sure Rock Spring might have fit in this.
Rock Spring, category. Good one, CP, for sure.
Would it? No, I've never. That's
from the city, yeah.
Oh, from the city.
Yeah, I said from me within an hour. So again, that totally changes the.
I also played Silver Lake for the first time in Staten Island recently.
Oh, yeah, well, how's that?
I would like to go back when it's dry. I think it could be pretty fun, kind of like We Quake, Steve, where I think if it's rock hard, it could play very fun. It was sopping wet, so I'd like to get back. I don't know if I'm going to get back to Staten Island. I don't feel the need, but just that day, the tee time was available, so we went.
You hit a Pastosa's.
Staten Island or Long Island?
It's Staten Island, yeah.
Wow.
Staten Ireland. Staten it.
I've been to Staten Island a couple times. There was a golf reason I did not. I interviewed someone there. Maybe that was it. What's it called?
Silver Lake, I believe.
There's not many courses in Staten Island.
Yeah, there can't be that many yet. That's probably where I went.
And no Diker Beach either, Myers. I mean, everyone.
Never played there. That would take me 2 hours both ways, probably. You can't drive into the city. You have to have a death wish. I mean, it's just that's nuts. I've never played there. I've only played Van Cortlandt. And we almost got into a fight on the first tee.
Yep.
It was 5:40 in the morning. 5:40. Pitch black almost. And that people are screaming at us to tee off. It's a 240-yard opener. There were people about 180 yards out in the fairway and they're yelling at us to hit the ball. I'm like, who do you think? Like, what are you talking about? Like,
the scenes there, man.
And I swear to God, and I've said this, you get back to that area. I forgot if it's the 14th hole or the 15th hole. Yep. So we got back there at like, a good time because we were out 5:40 in the morning. We got back there at like maybe like 8:30 or something. There were 1,000 people by the first team. 1,000 people. I've never seen the like of it. It was
Memorial Day, like same timing. I had a 9 o'clock tee time, and there were 10 groups ahead of us waiting to
Unbelievable.
Tee.
Yeah.
3 minute intervals.
It's crazy. And again, there's so many. I think I luckily had a pull cart, luckily, that I got from the shop. Because at some point I remember thinking, this is the longest I've ever walked. There's all these bridges you go over.
Yeah.
And at the end of the round, we got to the parking lot. I never do this. I took out my thing and it said I'd walked 8.1 miles. I was like, this sick. You just like,
could have walked to the edge of Manhattan.
Almost a half marathon.
Yeah, it was crazy. So again, if I couldn't get a time anywhere and I could get I would do it again. It would have to be at 5:40 in the morning. Yep. Because it is just a zoo there. Unfortunately, we talked about zoos at the beginning. This is a real zoo.
Well, sir.
So, all right. You guys also wanted to do another little fun ranking here or Mount Rushmore. I'll let you take it away.
Well, CP, it's your idea. So why don't you?
It was someone on Twitter's idea. I forget who now. Like,
you forgot who. I always forget who.
No, I do. I do. It was like 2 weeks ago. I remember who the hell was it. Anyway. Great idea. We were talking about it because we tweeted about John Rahm's. I'll go for it. I think Rahm's is on my Mount Rushmore. Hasn't even happened yet, but that menu looks phenomenal. I'm a Spanish food guy. I think I would dominate that one. Hideki is obviously in my top four as a sushi guy. I believe he had nigiri, which is when it's just the rice and they lay the piece of fish over it. That's my favorite type of
Isn't
sushi.
That what they all are? What? I mean, what?
No. This
I don't do sushi.
Wraps and, yeah, you don't do sushi. Keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
I'm putting Patrick Reed's. I just went through all the last like 30. I think that one, I mean, that's like a, you know, you know, like a steakhouse type of meal with all the sides and, you know, ribeye. So I would put Reed up there.
Yeah.
And then I'll throw in Adam Scott because I want to try whatever that lobster is that he had shipped from Australia, I believe, that looked like a bug, but it was a lobster. So Adam Scott, P. Reed, Rom, and Hideki for me.
So you stole Patrick Reed's.
That's the one, I think.
Yeah, I think that's the one. I mean, it had everything. So, like, even if you're not a big steak guy, it had, you know, nice salad to start the
wedge. He had the wedge. I'm a wedge head, so love
need
that.
A wedge.
Ooh, sure. I like the wedge. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Not the blue cheese though. I need the ranch.
Oh, that's the best part. The blue cheese.
Come on.
Yeah.
Meyer's food taste.
I'm terrible at this. People always joke that I would have like chilies to take or the Masters. I probably would. I mean, honestly, I really would. Also, I'd keep the price down. I mean, that's pricey.
Yeah, you got to pay for yourself. Apparently,
well,
right?
So we have a champion. Steve, I'll let you go first. I'll let you go first, and then I'll talk. I'm sorry.
All right.
You go first.
You would have your Costco like churro and like $1 hot dogs on your dinner.
That's right. No more. Churro, but yes.
Everyone
would go with Rom. Churro would go with Rom's meal. Just saying.
That's true. It would go with most meals, I think.
Yeah.
Tiger, pretty much every one of Tiger's seemed like it slapped. The last one in 2020. So, you know, COVID. And so it sounds like they had steak and chicken fajitas and sushi and sashimi out on the, I mean, it has everything. Plus you're outside on the veranda of Augusta National. That's, I think, goated. But his 2003 Champions Dinner, so obviously after he won in 02, was literally everything. Crab cakes, chicken, porterhouse steak, again, sushi and sashimi, salads, mashed potatoes, with a chocolate truffle cake. So Tiger was doing it right. And then a little, you know, off the radar, I think, was Jose Maria Othabel's dinner in 2000. Mm. He had some filet with a nice red wine sauce. Sounds like pairs very nice with a nice bottle of red from the Augusta wine cellar, with some romaine lettuce, olive oil vinegar, some pepitas fritas, which are just smaller French fries, and chalets. So, I mean, there's some bad dinners. Like, I don't know, Paris. I feel like Adam Scott's looks kind of like on the woat list, not the goat list.
Ooh,
I don't know, see this fish you're talking about. He's got a Wagyu strip and then like a calamari salad.
No, I remember. That can't be right. The whole thing was like, oh, he's having this
special thing flown in or something. Yeah,
it was it's a lobster, but it's called like a bug.
Oh yeah, okay.
I'm looking at what you're looking at. It's not on here.
Yeah, Rex Hoggard's Champions Dinner.
Yeah,
and he tweeted Adam Scott's. I guess.
Yeah. Now I was also thinking, like, when did they start actually like leaning into this? Because.
Right.
You know, you go all the way to the early 2000s, and it's, I guess it was just word of mouth from the guys who were there. But, like, fully lean in, like, guy holding the menu, doing a video. It looks like...
Charles Schwartzel's is the first one that is on.
Sergio? Yeah, maybe.
So.
Well, I mean, I remember when I put together the list, I mean, you can go back and find out what they serve. But, right, like, in terms of, like, leaning into it and a big deal about it, it's definitely picked up steam. It's one of those things that now is
social media, baby.
You guys are, I mean, I'm impressed. You guys are way more adventurous than I am, obviously.
We're talking about chicken and steak. What are you talking about?
No. I mean, you
most of them are just chicken and steak. It's hilarious.
I'm bad. I don't do
someone sushi. Should start slanging pizzas or something. Like, get crazy.
Yeah.
Reds.
Well, I mean, what did Bubba serve? Fried chicken? I'd probably like that.
Prison food. No, he served like grilled chicken.
Oh, grilled chicken.
His dinner is on the woat list too.
That's weak. I would do the Patrick Reed steakhouse dinner then. And the Tiger, you know, steak chicken fajitas. I love that.
Yeah.
Rom looks good. I mean, I didn't know what more than half the stuff is, but like anything with beans or rice, I like that stuff. I can get that. Yeah, I'm not like a sushi guy, unfortunately. I know Matsuyama. I need what I need, and this always blows people's minds because I'm such a picky eater, is see, it's weird. I'm picky in terms of like the kinds of food, but like the quality, I don't care. I'll eat like fast food every day. I'll eat like I'll just eat like spaghetti and meatballs from, you know, whatever, cooked up in a big pot. Like I don't, that's all I need. But no, I need who would I need to win? I'm blanking on well, like back in the day, Jeev Milka Singh. I need an Indian.
Honorbaan. You need Honorbaan.
I need Honorbaan. I need some Indian
You do
food.
love
I
Indian food.
love Indian food. People
What's
like
that place in Augusta?
big week next week for you.
forgot the name of it, but we usually hit it up a couple times. It's pretty
The
good.
Taj.
Oh,
Isn't it
no,
called
with
the Taj?
Dan, with Danny Boy. That's
Yeah.
the place that we take out. Yeah, what is that called?
Taj of India, I think.
Taj of India. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And then we even got you into it, Steve. That was good. You know, Sam was into it.
I didn't think I'd bite on Indian food,
It
but
was, oh
it's
my God,
good.
it's so freaking good,
Yeah.
man. So we might have to hit that up. But no, on my trip, the winner does host the Champions Dinner the following year. And so you have to do a little scouting and see what's in the area wherever we're going, because we're not go to the same place every year, obviously. And if I've won 5 times, well, this will be the 5th time. I've done, last year included, the Champions Dinner has been at Chili's at least twice. Last year it was at Chili's in Pine, you know, in the Southern Pines area. I found nice Chili's there, really good stuff. So that's where I'll be. Where are we going this year? French Lick. There's got to be a Chili's in French Lick,
Yeah, there will be some
I would assume, yeah.
or a Hooters. You know, the fallback could be Hooters.
Hoops.
I can get behind that.
Yeah,
Hoops any
so
day.
that's kind of where we're looking. Okay, let's look ahead to this week. Obviously, the final tune-up before the Masters. We got you know, we got LIV as well. We got the Valero Texas Open on the PGA Tour, and we have the LIV Miami event at Doral. Let's start with Valero Texas Open. Guys, Matt Fitzpatrick said he's going to play for the first time, at least, well, maybe not for the first time, but he usually doesn't play the week before a major. He's playing this week. He's going to mix it up, see if that helps. He, of course, is in there, although I don't see his name, so maybe he lied to us.
Yeah,
Yeah.
he's in there. Yeah.
He is?
I'm looking at the DraftKings odds at
Oh,
least.
yeah, I see him. 25
Why
to
don't I
1.
see him on DraftKings? Oh, there he is. Yeah, 25 to 1. Yeah, sorry. I knew he wouldn't lie to us. So Matt Fitzpatrick's playing, but you got Rory playing an 8 to 1. Ludwig, Max Homa, Spieth, Matsuyama. Guys, any? I know it's pretty early. It's Monday. It's April Fool. Hey, by the way, kudos to all of us. No April Fool's jokes. And we didn't fall for that Cam Smith mullet April Fool's by Liv. Any early leans for you guys on this event?
I got one. Nikolai Højgaard at 60-1. This feels like, ball striker bombers type of course. And 60-1 seems like a good number.
Not a good number, but Norin 30 to 1. I believe he
It's your boy.
can play his way in with a win to the Masters.
Hit a nice run.
Nice finish.
Yeah.
Obviously should have won earlier in the year when Camilo clipped him. That was a dagger. Has had some plenty of good finishes since. It's bad number. It's Alex Noren. He doesn't win in America, but and it doesn't work like this. Oh, he's got to get in the Masters. He's gonna win, but screw it. I'll ride it. Ride for
Yeah,
Noren. If Jaeger can win, Noren can win.
no, 100%. Yeah, I mean, it's
about
true.
Billy Horschel at 35-1?
I liked him last week, and then I was like, no, I'm not betting Billy Horschel. And then I see he was right there yesterday.
9 or
It's,
something.
but the
Yeah.
number's too much. It's an overreaction. I mean,
Crazy.
no, it's good for him. He's
Yeah.
great again. Obviously, he was really struggling last year. Everybody remembers that press conference at the Memorial when he was like crying, basically. That was crazy. But no, 35 to 1, too much. What about Harris English?
Yeah,
Harris
I
English.
love Harris English.
That's a good
I might
number.
toss Harris English in there, 40 to 1.
I don't know.
I'll toss
I have to stay away from the dogs this week. Seton Hall, Georgia tomorrow night.
it. Ooh,
This is an anti-dog week, I think.
anti-dog week.
By the way, I was doing so good because I was in California and we talked about this last week, Steve, and I wasn't going to bet the golf. And then, of course, I got FOMO'd into Tigala and I mushed him for us. My bad.
Thanks.
I had to make a wager through someone to get the wager in. And I'm just, you cannot be colder betting golf than me. It's sick. Like, The guys don't even sniff it. I mean,
I've bet Zalatoris twice. He's
been horrible.
Cut, and he should have missed the cut this week.
Right.
He was like the greatest golfer on the planet before I bet him.
And I bet him, though, 2 weeks before he made his big runs, so I couldn't even, you know. Anyway, I'm just ice cold. You at least hit that Matsuyama one, and Steve's hit some. I'm just brutally ice cold. Tom Kim, 55-1.
Bez has been playing really well. Also not in the Masters.
All right,
Akshay. Yeah, well, Akshay number's kind of crazy. He's like 65 or something.
That is crazy. I hopped on him live too yesterday, 14-1. After he stuck an approach and they didn't change the odds, and I got him and he birdied it and he was one off the lead and I was feeling so good and then he did nothing. But his approach game was incredible. I think he was leading the field. He was really swinging it.
This could be an Akshay course for sure. I like that.
All right, maybe I write Akshay. I mean, again, I really should take time off. That being said, I've done pretty good in the tournament, I have to say. And I've been good. I was in California, so I couldn't bet a lot of the games. But, like, even since I came back, I've been, you know, very disciplined, not betting every game. You know, like yesterday, I only made one bet. I hit it. But how are you guys doing tournament-wise? Are there any pools that you got cooking?
No. You picked Kentucky to win them.
Oh, right. Yeah, Kentucky screwed us all. Yeah.
I could have won our work one, but you know, I had three of the final four alive yesterday, but Tennessee lost and Duke lost. So kind of a dagger.
I can't believe Duke lost. It was so crazy.
I did Tennessee, NC State money line parlay yesterday. That was tough to watch. And then the night before, I told you guys I did Duke and Creighton. That was another one.
Right.
Tried to sneak one past the goalie. Almost. Oh
man! Of course, you knew NC State was going to win.
I know.
Oh man! Now, well, anyway, that was great.
Tennessee was. Oh, they had so many chances for the kill. I'm sorry. He is brutal to watch on Purdue. It's so bad.
He's brutal, but I will say I give Tennessee even credit for being in.
They played him great. How he doesn't score every time he.
Well, he almost does. He does, or he gets fouled almost every time. Yeah. So like, I couldn't believe that Tennessee tied the game. I was like, it feels like Purdue's killing him because he's so unstoppable.
He didn't have a good game against Gonzaga. It was weird. He looked hurt or something. Like he wasn't defending either. Like their big guys kind of were doing whatever they wanted inside. And
they blew him out in the second half.
Yeah, in the second half they did.
That was crazy.
Yeah.
Well,
and the discourse has been like, well, you know, they run a lot of great sets and they're like a well-oiled machine. But then yesterday, it's just dump it down to Edie every possession. Well, so I don't even
passer. Like they're
shoot
too. So they double and then he just finds whoever's open and they usually.
Exactly. I will say the point guard, Braden Smith, he's really good. So they have two. But then other than that, there's just not a lot there.
I want Purdue UConn. I think that'll be great, but I don't know. I feel like if they can kind of contain Edie a little, they'll just run them out of the gym too.
Right. And Burns is going to get his buckets. I mean, he's
Zach Randolph. Love him.
Debo 2.0. Yeah.
Can't believe this.
It's amazing.
DJ Burns Randolph comparisons. How is NC State in the tournament still?
Someone posted the end of that Virginia game again.
I didn't know about that. That's insane. They were knocked out, and that dude, I think he played
like a 90% free throw shooter, missed the free throw, and then
know that. I just know the O'Connell guy who can shoot it. I think he's from New York City. He's definitely from New York, Long Island, and he hits like a pull up bank prayer to keep alive,
and it like went like that too around.
Yeah, didn't even go in clean, and like we would never even be talking about this guy. Few times, and I've always been like, I don't get what's going on. And then they showed some segment during a Wake game earlier this year. He was like one of the biggest recruits in the country too. Like he's very good, but he's just had kind of a nothing career there until now. All of a sudden, he's turned it on. So anyway. Good for him. Good for State. I give him credit. ACC, guys. ACC, pretty strong still. Everybody wrote him off. Although Duke shit the bed. UNC shit the bed too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, been a good tournament. Are you going to go? So what are you, you're going to Seton Hall, Georgia?
No, it's in Indiana.
Oh shit. My bad.
It used to be at the Garden, and then the
Seton Hall. Yeah, I was going to say, like, why is
suddenly it's in Indiana.
Crazy.
Joke.
That's too bad.
We got to, the Yankees are winning the World Series, I think.
Dude, 4-0. This is amazing.
Unbelievable. The dude is, Soto is, he's Soto. Better, like, light years better than Judge. I know it's four games, but it's very obvious.
He's very good. They have
he's
two
unbelievable.
Players. They have two amazing players. The pitching is very shaky. Cole, I saw.
Yeah, it's like Stanton's not even on the team. If you watch this series, it's like, well, it's a joke.
Yeah. The pitching, though, is very scary. And even like Holmes, he stinks.
Bullpen didn't give up a run all weekend.
I know, but it's smoke.
I know. I know. It's just first and third right away. And you're like, oh my God.
Exactly. Whatever. So they're going to have some tough ones. But no, to beat the Astros four straight in Houston and to do it with like comeback wins and all
that feels different.
Does feel different. Doesn't feel different in Flushing, though, I'll tell you that much.
No, it feels the same.
That's my last boy, year Steven was Cohen. Get out of here.
last year, all I heard was a dynasty was starting.
Same old, same old. They got people dancing on the dugout. They got all these gimmicks on the Jumbotron. Like, they're trying to do anything to distract from the play on the field. It's amazing. Stevie Cohen.
That's always what the Mets do. That's where the wave started.
Yeah, exactly.
So
is it really?
Keep the attention off the field, and everyone will keep coming back to the ballpark, I guess.
Steve, did you actually say anything to Steve Cohen?
Dude, I talked to him for like a minute. Like,
stop!
I had to cut off the conversation.
No way.
So we were at the Knicks game, and you know I had access to the Chase Lounge or whatever, and. Yeah, I walked past Steve Cohen and I turned to the guys I was with. I was like, do you know who that is? And they're like, no, Steve Cohen, he's wearing a Mets hat. So we get a drink and we're at a high top and like he's 2 feet from us. He's like on the other end of the high top for a good 10 minutes talking to this guy. And it seemed like the guy's kind of like, you know, being annoying to him. And so the other guys were like, we should go up and talk to him. But they didn't want to say anything. I was like, I'll say something. I don't care. Like, Mr. Cohen, can we take a picture with you? So obviously, like, he's on the strategic sports group with all the PGA Tour guys. So I told him I worked at Golf Digest. We talked for a minute.
That's awesome.
You know, it's probably off the record, so I don't want to fully disclose.
Was he wearing any logo? Any golf logos?
No.
Oh, okay.
But
we got to monitor Steve's investments for the next few weeks.
Yes, exactly.
I might have ordered a Mets hat after our conversation.
Oh my God.
Oh, Steve.
I'm kidding. But
you have a little soft spot for him. I got
such it. Yeah, nice he can put people under a spell, clearly, huh?
Well, I think he's a self-made millionaire. Yep. So he was very relatable and very easy to talk to, not like these people who, you know, come for money and they look down on you. He was legitimately interested in, you know, having a conversation about golf, which is awesome. So
that's anyway, great.
Yeah.
What a life. What a life.
I just watched on the plane right back, Dumb Money.
I thought it was good, Myers.
Pretty good.
For one of those Netflix movies that they just rush out, I thought
it was on Netflix? I didn't even know that.
I thought it was a Netflix movie. Maybe it was.
It might have been. I don't know. Maybe on the airline they like take off the branding or something. They had to deal with Peacock. Maybe it's on Peacock. Anyway, good movie.
It was good.
Steve Cohen is a
Steve. You'd like it. It's about the GameStop. The whole GameStop COVID.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen.
Yeah, Seth Rogen.
Yeah, Paul Dano. Yeah, it's good. It's good. All right. Well, anyway. All right. Good stuff, guys. Again, we will be back next week, of course, with some Masters stuff. Plenty of Masters stuff, I should say. In the meantime, thanks as always for listening. Please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a message or a rating, whatever. We really appreciate it. Thanks to our producer, as always, Greg Gottfried. Although Lillian Northrup has been helping out as well, and so we appreciate her help as well. Thanks. What else do I have to say? That's it.
Fitzy. Right? Thanks, Fitzy.
Thanks to Fitzy, of course. Yeah, for comeback. And yeah, that's it. Check back next week to see if we've met any more billionaires. See ya.